Looking for something smart, soulful, and full of heart? I'm Jen Hatmaker, host of For the Love, the podcast where we talk about what really matters, love and family, faith and purpose. Every week, I'm joined by incredible guests for honest conversations that invite all of us to live with more intention, more laughter, and more connection. Join us on For the Love wherever you get your podcasts.
97.1 FM Talk. On demand audio.
Could this escalate the conflict with Venezuela?
Well, you know, we've had sanctions on Venezuelan oil since the first Trump administration.
And Biden kept them.
Kept them.
Yeah.
So to me, this is absolutely normal. I mean,
seizing an oil tanker?
Yeah. We've been seizing Iranian oil tankers in the past. We also, according to the law that I've read, that oil is up for forfeiture. So we could keep that. We've kept Iranian oil in the past.
We got former Senator Jim Talent on the phone here on this Thursday morning. And Jim, that was a lady named Beth Sanner, who CNN promotes as their national security analyst. I do not think that's the analysis CNN was looking for, but she basically said this Venezuelan boat seizure is a nothing burger.
Oh, my gosh. What they consistently do is not engage. I'm talking about the administration's political opponents. They don't engage with the policy. They don't say, okay, we like the policy, we don't like the policy, we have these criticisms of it. What they do is they keep trying to delegitimize perfectly normal exercises of executive power. That was true with regard to our attacks on the drug boats, and now we are capturing the illegal boats that are carrying illegally in violation of our sanctions. They're carrying oil. There's a shadow oil fleet that the Venezuelans have, the Iranians have, et cetera. So we're enforcing the oil sanctions. And by the way, these are international sanctions, if that matters. And they don't like that either. So, but they won't engage with the policy. They won't tell us, well, we support Maduro's regime, or we don't like putting pressure on Maduro's regime, or whatever. And it's frustrating if you take it too seriously, so I generally don't. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, well, you know, I mean, I'm watching the headlines, and, you know, there's all this faux outrage. You know, Trump's going to war. What's he doing? Why are we doing this? And I'm thinking back, wait a minute, during the Biden administration, we did this. During the Obama administration, I could be wrong. I know we were stopping tankers when we had embargoes on. And here this is being made out to be something it's not. It's a great point.
We're enforcing sanctions.
Yes.
This sanctions regimes go back decades and decades and decades. And we're enforcing sanctions. We have sanctions, and we're enforcing them against Maduro, not only because he is tied at the hip to these cartels that are hybrids between very powerful criminal gangs and irregular militaries, but also because he's hosted Russian ships. He's a tool of Chinese influence, and his regime is upheld by Cuban security forces. It is a hostile adversarial regime in the Western Hemisphere, and it's a core American national security interest, of course, to secure our strategic environment. That's what the administration is doing. So, I mean, you know, you can't please these people, which is fine, but again, I wish they would actually criticize the policy if they don't like it, instead of constantly trying to treat something as if it's abnormal, when it's not only perfectly normal, it's good. I mean, this is a praiseworthy thing that the administration is doing.
I like what Kristi Noem said about it. She said, there's no place on land or sea where we won't find you. And I think that's an important precedent to set for a lot of these dictators who have been jerking the United States around. And under Biden, we took it. And so now it's time to say enough is enough, and we're going to stop this.
Well, look, the administration is following an America First foreign policy, which I think is exactly the right thing to do. If the United States is strong, secure, and free, there is hope for the rest of the world. But it's increasingly clear that the critics are following an America Never policy. In other words, anytime we try to protect America's interests, even if we're not doing it first, they complain. And they don't complain by saying, well, we want these illegal oil shipments to support a Maduro regime, which is hostile to the United States. They say, well, it's unconstitutional or it's illegal or something like that, when it's simply not. It's the exercise of power on behalf of American security, which is what the president is supposed to do. Okay.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right. On audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah. We're talking to Jim Talent, former Missouri Senator. I want to get your reaction because obviously the drug boat issue is part of all of this too and blowing it up. I wanted you to hear what your former political opponent, Claire McCaskill, said about this yesterday.
And I got to tell you, I want to indict Hegseth. I want to indict Trump for this, what they're doing here. But really, the military leaders, the ones he had in the first term, would not have done this. They would. Where's Kane, the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff? Why isn't he? The military deserves better than this.
What's your reaction? She's calling for indictments suggesting, again, war crimes taking place here, Jim.
Yeah, well, the Claire McCaskill I knew when I served with her in the legislature would not have said that, okay? Because she, and I, well, whether she actually believes it or not, I don't know. That's, of course, the Democratic Party line now.
Yeah.
So as I said before, there are subnational groups that are hybrids of gangs and irregular militaries. The cartels are one of them, but there's others as well. I mean, pirates are a classic example of that. And we have been acting, including using elements of the United States Navy, to stop piracy, going back to what, the Barbary pirates?
Exactly.
In the early 19th century. Islamic radical groups are another example of that. They are criminal gangs in the sense that they sell drugs, they engage in all kinds of illicit activities to get money, but they're also, of course, irregular military forces. So here we used one element, the Coast Guard, a uniformed military service, to stop oil shipments. In other cases, we've used the United States Navy and our intelligence and special operators to go after drug operators. So it's the right thing to do, and the administration is going to continue doing it. And I guess what Senator McCaskill is saying is that when the Democrats get into power, they won't. They'll just let the oil shipments go. They'll let the drug cartels send cocaine and fentanyl into the United States. Okay. If that's what that's the policy they want to follow, they can follow it. But all these discussions about presidential authority and international law and the rest of it are beside their attempts to evade the real issue.
I would agree with that 100%. Jim Talent, thank you as always. Have a great week.
You're welcome, Mark.
We'll talk soon. Good to get him on here. Yeah, in fact, I've got the poster on my wall in there from one of Brian Kilmeade's first books, and it was titled Thomas Jefferson and the Tripoli Pirates, where in the very beginnings of our country, he had to dispatch the United States Marines to stop pirates from harassing U.S. Ships that were coming and going in that region. We've been fighting this battle of piracy for years and years and years. There's nothing unusual except now we're able to do it with drones instead of having to necessarily put U.S. lives at risk. So stick that in your pipe and smoke it. All right. Coming up, we're going to get to Kim on a Whim. Next hour, Nick Schroer is going to join us to talk about his idea to make sure that there are no overbearing red flag laws in the state of Missouri. We'll be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.